Good morning, everybody. It is May 22nd, 2025, 9 o'clock a.m. I'm Phil Albrechts, hearing examiner for Kitsap County. Just have one hearing this morning. My understanding is correct, and that is for a preliminary plat and critical areas variance application for files 2300730 and 2301780 for a 50-lot subdivision out there. The hearing format is we'll have a presentation from staff, who I understand to be Ms. Kreifels, who wrote the staff report. We'll go over the project. Once she's done, we'll move on to applicant comments, and that's not mandatory, but if the applicants want to chime in and make some comments in support of their proposal, that's certainly welcome to do that after Ms. Kreifels is done with her presentation. Then after that, we get to one of the primary purposes of the hearing, which is to hear from the public. And we'll take comments, of course, from people in the hearing room as well as people attending virtually. After that, we go back to Ms. Kreifels to answer questions the public may have had and to provide any rebuttal evidence Ms. Kreifels finds necessary. Then the applicant gets final word, final opportunity to present rebuttal evidence and any closing comments. And then after that, I get 10 business days to issue that final decision. So by state law, I'm only allowed to consider evidence that's put into the record today. I don't get to talk to Ms. Kreifels or anyone else about the project beforehand or read about it in the paper or anything. Everything I know about this project will be based on the information that's put in the record today, composed of all your testimony and the exhibits that are admitted into the record. Ms. Kreifels has put together a set of documents that support her recommendation. A lot of work goes into these projects, of course. And I'm going to share my screen real quick to go over those. Let's see, yep, there it is. Okay, so this is an exhibit list that Ms. Jones from the clerk's office put together and identifies a total of 52 documents that comprise the record so far. And there's a lot, like I said, a lot of work comes into these things. We have the habitat survey, the concurrency test, which measures traffic impacts and adequacy of congestion levels, geotechnical reports, landscaping plan, storm drainage report, which deals with stormwater impacts, and then we have wetland delineation. We also had a variance application. Oh, shoot, just clicked on something by accident. Hold on a second. There we go, back to the list. Okay. Then we have public comments. In this case, it was mainly from the agencies, Department of Ecology, Kitsap Transit, and so forth, Department of Fish and Wildlife as well, and the Army Corps, because this project involved filling of a wetland, and environmental analysis dealing with whether an environmental impact statement should be done, when it was not done, and traffic reports as well. So, total, like I said, a total of 52 documents. If anyone needs to see any of those documents or has any objection to their entry in the record, at this point, let us know. If you're participating virtually, you can do that by clicking on the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. If you're in the hearing room, just wave your hands and Ms. Jones will recognize you. Ms. Jones is the clerk for the hearing examiner's office up there. So not seeing any takers, I'll go ahead and admit exhibits 1 through 52. So Mr. Gurney, are you speaking for the project today or is that going to be Ms. Kreifels? Oh, she's
she'll be presenting online today. Mr. Gurney is just here as backup for any questions as well.
Okay, perfect. All right, Ms. Kreifels, let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
All right. So thank you and good morning, examiner. I'm going to pull up share my slides here. It's just flipped on me. PowerPoint.
Yes, we can.
Thanks.
Yes.
All right. So I'll get started. So today I am presenting the preliminary plat application number 2300730 and the associated critical area variance number 2301780. And these are requested by applicants Agile SB P01 LLC. The applicants are requesting approval for a land division proposal to subdivide the two parcels, which total 9.77 acres for the benefit of 50 single-family residential lots. And in addition, the applicant requests the critical area variance in order to construct an access road to the development site per Kitsap County Code 19200220C for buffer reductions greater than 25% for subdivisions. This is pursuant to a variance under Section 19100135. Staff did inform the applicant that the critical area variance request may be withdrawn if compliance with Kitsap County Code 19200225C for road, street repair, and construction is met. The applicants chose not to withdraw the permit at that time in order to ensure approval. Here's slide three. The subject site is located west of Bethel Road, where it will receive access from. The east parcel number is 112301-1006-2007, addressed as 5230 Bethel Road Southeast. That's in Port Orchard, Washington. It has an existing single-family residence, which will be segregated through a boundary line adjustment process as a condition of approval. Parcel number 112301-1030-2007 is vacant, undeveloped property. The site is within the Port Orchard Urban Growth Area in South Kitsap and Commissioner District 3. So much of the site is currently undeveloped and covered with grass, brushes, isolated trees, and some forest growth in the western portion. It is on gently sloping east-facing ground with a steeper east-facing slope bordering the eastern boundary. Overall, elevation change in the planned developed portion of the site is on the order of 30 plus or minus feet. Adjacent land uses include single-family residences at the south, east, and west, and there is vacant land to the north of the project site. Utility providers shown here at the lower right include water and sewer will be provided by West Sound Water District or West Sound Utility District. I believe it's West Sound Water District. And here we have our zoning map on the left. The two green X's on that zoning map represent the subject site, with the vested density being 5 to 9 dwelling units per acre. Therefore, the required number of lots or units is or would be 30, and no more than 83 units would be permitted. So a 50-lot plat meets that density. Standard zoning setbacks are 20 feet at the front, 5 at the sides, and 10 feet at the rear. And land use designation is urban low density residential. Here is the critical area ordinance map, which indicates moderate erosion, slopes, and hydric soils, also known as potential wetlands. County staff did facilitate a site visit with Ecology, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, the tribes, and the applicant's biologist to confirm on-site critical areas. Wetland A in the report is on-site and 0.97 acres in size. It's located within a depression in the east center of the subject site. And then wetland D is 310 square feet off-site, located on the adjacent parcel to the north. Both wetlands are classified as Category 3. However, wetland D is exempt from buffer regulations due to its smaller size or small size. And let's see here, slide 7. So we have the preliminary plat application as being deemed complete July 12, 2023, and the critical area variance June 23, 2023. Pursuant to the Washington Administrative Code 19711355, the optional DNS process was utilized for this project. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrently with the notice of application dated October 19th, 2023, and a determination of non-significance was issued March 7th, 2025. No appeals were filed. Public comments that were received included comments for congestion, density, the infrastructure, traffic impacts, and traffic fees. The Suquamish tribe requested a site visit to identify the stream typing and the location of the stream. And here is the survey plot map. It shows the 50 lot development with the site improvements, including access, frontage, frontage improvements. You may not be able to see it on this survey plot map, but those will be the part of the infrastructure included. So access, frontage improvements, internal sidewalks, driveways, parking, stormwater management, landscape buffers, and utilities. And that includes on-site and off-site parking. And the proposal meets Kitsap County Code 1624040 for urban standards, including 390 square feet per lot of recreational open space area. Therefore, 19,500 square feet is required and 30,000 square feet is provided or will be provided. Separate tracts are proposed for wetland buffers and recreational open space. And here is the landscape plan that was submitted during the preliminary. A final landscape and irrigation plan will be required at submittal and reviewed with the civil site development permit for conformance with Kitsap County Code 17500. I think I may have skipped a slide here. Let me go back up just to be sure. Yeah. Okay, so here is the recreation plan. It incorporates some climbing play structures, a bench, and a picnic table. And it will be required with the landscaping plan as a condition of approval. And both photos here are facing the west from two existing accesses off of Bethel Road Southeast. The left photo is from the northeast perimeter, and the other photo to the right is the single family residence driveway that exists. And here are some Google Earth photos. On the left, we have, if you can see the blue arrow, that's pointing at the northern access driveway as the aerial photo is looking straight down on the property. And then there's a red arrow, which shows the existing single family residence driveway. Bethel Road Southeast is a publicly maintained county road with a collector arterial functional classification. And the proposed internal road will be privately maintained and classified as a low volume local access road. According to the traffic impact analysis prepared by Heath and Associates dated March 6, 2024, the project will generate 41 new AM peak trips and 54 new PM trips and will be required to incorporate the frontage improvements along approximately maybe 300 feet of the property frontage here that you see on the right-hand side. I just ran into another number, so maybe 220 to 330 feet along this property frontage, but we'd have to double check that number. Slide 14. So here are some Kitsap County imagery shots. 1994 is on the left, 2021 is on the right. Can't wait to get some new updated shots. let's see here. So slide 15 shows mitigation sequencing, and it was done to minimize unavoidable impacts to the wetlands and their buffers and upgrade an existing driveway, or for the upgrade of an existing driveway. And this will be used for access to the entire west portion of the parcel, helping to reduce disturbance. Or any further disturbance elsewhere. The submitted wetland report and mitigation plan prepared by Beaver Creek Environmental Services, Inc., dated April 12, 2024, characterizes the wetland buffer functions. It states avoidance is not possible, and it discusses minimization and mitigation outlined in Kitsap County Code 19200. On the right are some of the numbers captured from that report for the created wetland, the enhancement of the wetland, and retained buffer. Staff has reviewed and conditioned the proposal for criteria and standards under Chapter 19-100-135 as referenced in the staff report. And the proposal was reviewed and conditioned for consistency with requirements pursuant to Kitsap County Code, including 17-420-037, Single Family Subdivision and Design Standards, Chapter 16-04 and 16-24, for land segregation standards, and 1640 for subdivisions. And based upon the analysis above and the decision criteria found in Kitsap County Code 17550030A, Kitsap County Code 19100135, and 2104100, DCD recommends the preliminary plat and critical area variances. Those requests for Colby Court be approved, subject to conditions in the staff report. And that does conclude staff's presentation, and I will be here for any additional questions.
Okay, just a couple quick ones. On the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife comments, they were concerned about some potential stream connectivity. I mean, was that addressed, and could you kind of explain how?
Yeah, it was addressed, and the tribe, WDFW, and myself, with the proponent's biologist, met on site. It's been a while, but the initial request was, I believe, from the Suquamish tribe, and we were looking at the wetlands or streams, and then it was brought up by WDFW that there may be additional historical maps showing streams. So the site visit was done. U.S. Army Corps of Engineer also came to that meeting. They did upgrade from a 401 to a 404 permit, but the applicants are taking care of that. And it was determined by walking the site as well as the, ditches where the culverts were along the frontage of Bethel that there would be no disturbance to that stream, or maybe that the stream was downgraded and believed to be further south than first suspected. So the applicants may be able to speak better to that or add to that memory. But yes, it's all taken care of in the report, and all of the agencies seem happy with it. So.
Okay, great. All right, thanks, Ms. Kreifels. All right, well, let's move on to applicant comments. Does anyone here on behalf of the applicant want to add anything at this point? Ms. Jones,
looks like there's somebody online. No one in the room, but who wishes to speak.
Okay, we have a Matt Weber. Mr. Weber, are you here for the applicants?
Yes, I am. Can you hear
me? Okay, let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear firm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, and just to let you know, your video's not on. It's not required, just in case you didn't realize that. But we don't see you at this point.
I'd like you to see me. Let me see if I can figure that. Can you tell me how to do that? I don't see where I can add.
No. Sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Jones.
You won't be able to turn the video on just based on how the Zoom webinar is set up. But you might be able to share screen if you needed to.
Okay.
Okay. We'll work with that. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Weber.
Yeah. Yes. So again, Matt Weber. I'm a civil engineer with AHBL in Tacoma, Washington, and I'm representing the applicant. So I thought Jenny did a great job in her presentation, so that was good. The applicant has reviewed all the suggested conditions of approval, and we are in agreement with that. There were just a couple things that I'd like to potentially talk about or add to or clarify in the staff report and in the conditions. I guess I'll start with, maybe I could ask a question of the examiner. There's a couple things in the written staff report that aren't exactly correct. And so I don't know if I need to discuss those. They were not transferred to the conditions of approval. So the examiner is going to just adopt the conditions of approval and not necessarily the verbiage of the staff report then I don't need to go into the details.
Well, I think maybe just in summary fashion, because I do take a lot of the comments in the staff report and incorporate it into the decision. Like I say, it doesn't affect the final conditions, but if the decision is challenged for some reason, you know, the reasons for the conditions will be taken from the text of the decision. And so it's important that it be accurate. So I think if you can just kind of, you know, real summary, just point out the parts that you disagree with and how you think it should be worded in general, that would be sufficient.
Okay. So there's basically two things that I'd like to mention. One is on page 12 of the staff report, which has to do with the landscaping table.
Okay.
There's a reference to the buffers that are required, and Jenny, this might have been just a carryover from a previous comment. I think we've resolved the perimeter buffers, but. Well, I guess first off, in table 6, there you go, it's on the screen. So the code reference of 17.500.025, that actually has to do with the item above, which is the 15% of the site landscaping. Okay, and so then the required buffers, it's actually code section 17.500.027. And that's probably not that important. However, when we go through the boundaries and these buffers, I do not believe that those are accurate. And for sure, we're not proposing what's shown as proposed buffers. And the reason for this, let me just go with the one that we do agree with is on the east side of the site, and that would be our frontage to Bethel Road. And so we are in agreement that would be a roadside and setback buffer, and that is also proposed, so that's correct. However, when we go to the north side of the site, that abuts a commercial zone, as Jenny pointed out. And when you go to the code sections, I do not believe that there's a separation buffer that's required, because what the code says is that the like if you have we could pull up the code here, but basically if you read through that code, the commercial development, if they were to develop in a commercial, then they would have to provide the buffer. Like, we don't have to provide the buffer to an undeveloped commercially zoned parcel.
Okay, makes sense.
And a similar thing to the south and to the west, where it says a solid screening buffer, but I do not believe there's any buffer required there, because we're not a multifamily. Our project is a single family detached project, and we're abutting the UL zone and existing single family houses. And so I don't mean to make a big issue of it. The applicant, we are wanting to build a 6-foot solid board fence, so we're in agreement with that. So the only real discrepancy here, it has to do with planting evergreen street trees in our black backyards, which would be required under that solid screening buffer code.
Mr. Weber, I think that normally I like to wait for staff, but I think, you know, there could be a long separation between your comments and Ms. Kreifels, so we don't forget about these issues. But Ms. Kreifels, do you agree with Mr. Weber's comments about the landscape table?
So I am looking at the code right now just to verify. So at the north, give me one moment.
Okay.
Well, I had more time too.
Oh, sure. Okay. No, that's fine. Yeah. We can wait until it's staff.
Darren might have a quicker answer.
Okay. All right.
You need me to swear in.
Oh, I'm sorry. And yeah, do you swear firm, tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
And for the record, Darren Gurney, and current planning supervisor. So for the parcel, when we're talking about landscaping buffers, it's about the zoning compatibility as well as current use compatibility. With a commercial designation to the north, and this originally when it was proposed was urban low, you have between those two zoning designations, you have a solid screen buffer requirement. We now have this area of Bethel Road is completely rezoned to commercial. So the southern edges and the east edge, those are commercial now as well. So we do have a little bit of a discrepancy here where if you have that urban low designation, you have a single family residential development. That is not the most compatible with high intensity commercial development. So the solid screening buffers are also applicable on the south and the west.
So it sounds like
we may need to revisit that table and provide clarification for you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Maybe would that be a post-hearing thing to work out?
I think
maybe
so.
Between staff and applicant? Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. We can set that up. All right. Great. Thank you, Mr. Gurney. That's really helpful. Okay. Mr. Weber, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate having a chance to work with the staff on that issue because I'm not sure we're on the same page there. So anyway. Will you hold the record open then for us to do that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. At the end of the hearing, we'll give you whatever time you need to coordinate with staff on that issue.
Okay. The only other thing that I'd like to mention, and I could just in terms of the conditions, it's on page 24 of the staff report, and it's item number 8, it's suggested condition number 18. Yeah, there you go. So it says prior to SDAP acceptance, the applicant shall submit a set of drawings to the city of Port Orchard for review. That I understand that because we are in the city of Port Orchard's urban growth boundary. But then it says the applicant shall notify development engineering in writing when the plans have been submitted to the city. Development engineering shall coordinate with the city to determine if the city has any comments to the submittal. My concern with the way that condition is written is that it leaves the applicant kind of in limbo. If Port Orchard gives us comments, then we could get stuck in the middle of Kitsap County Code versus a comment from Port Orchard, and there's no way for us to resolve the comment, if that makes sense to you, Mr. Cavender, what I'm trying to say. So I'd like to just request that at the end of this condition, we add something to the effect that the final decision on any comments shall be made by Kitsap County.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Kitsap County probably won't have a problem with that, but I'll let Ms. Kreifels respond when we get back to staff comments. So, all right. Anything else, Mr. Weber?
No, that was all on the conditions. Okay. I'm here to answer questions because Jenny did allude to the wetland, and that was a major undertaking on our part, and so we have made application with the Corps and Ecology, and we've had meetings. We're actually we've gained approval on the JARPA and the HBA permit, so we're actually at the finish line with those other agencies. We're waiting for this hearing and your decision, hopefully of approval, so that we can then basically finalize those permits. And we don't intend to do any work until we get the SDAP or the actual site development permit, you know, approved as well. But just for your knowledge, though, there has been a lot of work. I'm not the biologist, I'm the engineer, but I've been involved through that process. So.
Okay. Certainly all the exhibits do show that a lot of work was put into that issue, no doubt. So, okay, well, let's move on to public comments at this point, and I'll start off with anybody in the meeting room. Ms. Jones, is there anyone? If you're in the meeting room and you want to say something, just wave your hand, and Ms. Jones will direct you to the podium. Anybody there, Ms. Jones?
No one at this time would like to speak.
Okay, let's move on then to people participating virtually, and if you're participating virtually and you want to say something, just click on the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen, and not seeing any takers there. And Ms. Jones, one question, kind of a technical question for future reference. I mean, is the way the Zoom is set up that we can't get video of people who are in the attendee list as opposed to the panelist list? Is that the distinction there?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So normally if we knew it was an app, but we would just promote them to the panelists, right? And then we could get their video at that point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That next time then maybe. All right. Well, let's go back to, I guess, no public comments. Go back to Ms. Kreifels. And Mr. Weber had a question, I believe it was question or condition 18 about Kitsap County having final say. Does the county have any problem with that?
I don't think we have any problem with that. To add something to that effect at the end of that condition.
Yeah, that should be easy.
I've made a note of that, yes.
Okay, anything else?
Yes, it was pointed out to me that slide 14 did not show the correct aerial photos, but it is correct in the staff report. So that's about it.
Okay, all right. And so how much time do you think staff needs with the applicant to work out the landscaping issues?
Well, I will be away after today, so I'm deferring to Mr. Gurney on this one.
I believe we could have this firmed up within a few days, so maybe Monday of next week.
Sure. Okay, I'll say Monday, 5 o'clock. I mean, and then just put together in writing what you've worked out. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Weber?
Monday is a holiday, sorry.
Oh, Tuesday. Yeah. Okay. Let's say Tuesday. Yeah, next Tuesday at 5 p.m. If anyone out in the public wants to see what the county has put together, just let Ms. Jones know you'd like to get notice of that writing. Ms. Jones, maybe if you could put in the chat what your email address is. And if you want to provide a written response to that, you know, you can submit that within two business days. So that would be the Thursday of next week. And then I'll let the applicant and county respond to any comments that are submitted on that point. So does that make sense to everybody? I think pretty straightforward. So, okay, I'll look forward to the, whatever you work out there on the issue of the landscaping buffers. And beyond that, like I said before, obviously a lot of work has gone into this, and it's a pretty strong case for a wetland filling. You don't quite see them that direct, but obviously you can't access the property at all without going through the wetland. And it's unfortunate for the wetland, but it makes a real clear case for the applicants. And I think that would be pretty fairly straightforward approval there. So anyway, thanks all for participating today, and we're adjourned. So have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.